Finding a Voice by Greg Fowler, Part 1. Had Neil Schon and Tom Scholz ever sat down with Eddie Van Halen to discuss the tribulations of leading a rock band, I bet they could have all agreed on one thing. They hate lead singers. Hey, Greg Fowler here, and this week I thought I'd try something new with my blog. It occurred to me that most of you who read my blog either have never heard me speak or haven't heard my voice in quite some time. So maybe some of you will be shocked at my southern accent, and maybe others won't even notice. Maybe some of you will say, "Stick to writing, Fowler." But anyway, for those of you who haven't checked out my about page on the author website, here's a bit more information on me. By night, I may be Greg Fowler, author, but by day, I'm an old IT guy now. So that means I'm in management, and they really don't let me touch much of the technology. So occasionally, I like to try something new on my own. And since this week's post mentions music and singing and a few long-lost singers, I thought an audio version of the blog would be interesting to try. And that's where the old IT nerd in me comes out, trying to figure out which tools to use to record this and post it. Also, I like to listen to a few podcasts, and I'm curious about the effort that goes into producing a podcast. This is not exactly a podcast, but it's probably as close as I'll ever come. I could have gone the video route, but I'll save that for later. And besides, the last videos I did for my stab at a fitness blog were really kind of boring, at least according to the one person who actually watched them. In case you didn't know it, Neil Schon, Tom Scholz, and Eddie Van Halen are rock and roll superstars, guitar players. They are also founders of bands that you may have heard of. Neil Schon is the original founder of the group Journey. Tom Scholz started the band Boston, and unless you've been hiding under a rock lately and completely missed all news, you know that Eddie Van Halen was a founding member of the group that bears his name, Van Halen. And if you have been hiding out, then I'll let you in on the sad news. Eddie Van Halen died of cancer a few weeks ago at age 65. Now, I started working on this post several weeks before Eddie's death, and with that development, I decided if I could weave together these oddball thoughts I've been working on into a signature Greg Fowler blog post. The only thing I can promise you that these are definitely oddball connections that only I have thought about. So let's visit 1982 again. A couple of my recent blog posts were about my short and non-illustrious football career as a freshman in high school in 1982. And this week, I'm going to start out in 1982 again, summer to be exact. This was the summer between my middle school and high school years and was pretty much a good time for me. There was an incident involving a tackle on the baseball field which caused me some grief, but that is a different story. So having just finished up 8th grade as a big dog on the Northwood Middle School campus, my cockiness that came with not knowing any better was pretty high. Because we had no TikTok, Snapchat, or Instagram back then, my main social network was the youth group at Taylor's First Baptist Church. Now, Sunday night was youth choir, and Wednesday nights was youth group. Not only did I learn the old hymns on Sunday night, thanks to the music minister, Lindsay O'Rear, I learned about rock and roll on Wednesday nights, thanks to David Cheek and Cliff Keller. These Wednesday nights were among my first memories of Van Halen. Anyway, during that summer of 82, it was time for the 8th graders to start transitioning to the high school choir. And I have another 1982 story related to this transition called The Solution that I'll link to in the PS section in the printed version of this blog. But anyway, the youth choir on Sunday nights was fine with me because there were girls there. And on Sunday nights, we'd show up an hour before the evening service and practice. We'd then be the church choir during the service. And the one thing I picked up on early was that the best place to sit in choir was between the two Chris's, Chris O'Rear and Chris Stokes. They were a year older and strong singers. And by sitting between them, I could either try to blend into their voices or I could fake blending in. Now, with just a week before school and with a couple of months of Sunday night choir under my belt, Mr. O'Rear came to me with a request. Turns out the youth choir had a subgroup of 6 to 8 members, I guess, who did extra practice and occasionally had singing gigs for the congregation and maybe outside groups. Now, for some reason, he wanted me to try out for this group. Now, if there's a Hall of Fame for music ministers, Lindsay O'Rear should be in it. He had amazing dedication, an incredible deep singing voice, and some serious tolerance for youth shenanigans. However, I'm not sure what he was thinking in this case. Apparently, my fakery that summer was too good. But for some reason, I agreed to the tryout. Perhaps there was a member of the opposite sex in the group that had caught my attention. At this point, the memories faded a little bit, and I just can't remember. I do remember this tryout consisted of taking me to the church sanctuary, where he sat down at the grand piano, and he hit a C note like this. And he told me to sing it or match it, something like this. So I did, and we did a few more notes. So after a few minutes, Mr. O'Rear may have said, I could have sworn you were faking. Or he could have said, hey, the Chris's were wrong. You were not faking. But he didn't say either one of those, and he seemed pleased. And he actually said, hey, that sounds pretty good. Now, next practice is next week. Why don't you come join us? So at this point, I left the sanctuary dumbfounded. What had just happened? Had I just become a singer in a non-rock and roll band? This is the end of part 1.